Oh, yeah. Swing in 2013. How about those New Year's resolutions? How many of you are saying you're going to finally get in great shape? You're going to stop smoking. You're not going to drink as much. You're going to read the 10 books that are piling up, like the Vince Flynn novels that I have that I got for Christmas that are piling up now, and one of them 600 pages. So good luck to me reading that. But whatever New Year's resolutions you make, write them down somewhere, stick them up, and let's see how you do at the end of the year. There were some big moments in 2012, so I think as we get ready to kick into another hour here and celebrate the past, I want to look at some of the things that happened. Coming up on the show, I'll tell you, we're going to talk to Stephanie Luce. She's a fantastic labor expert who's been to China, visited some of these mills and places where the kids are working, like the Indonesia fire that just killed so many kids and had the world asking the question why. Well, the answer is why, because it's cheap labor and the conditions in these factories are just horrific. So she looks at that. Also, John Christopher Bua is going to also join us. And John Christopher, this is an interview that we're going back to where we were talking about from New Hampshire. We were talking about the way it was looking for the Democrats and the way it was looking for the Republicans. And he was feeling pretty pumped up about the Democrats when everybody else thought Romney, because there were some pivotal moments that were starting to happen. And he works for Sky News. He's covered Washington his entire career, so we chat with him. And then on the lighter side, Ken Brown, who was a barista for Starbucks, tries to translate what all the gobbledygook is when you walk into Starbucks. You know how people order a latte with cream on the side and blah, blah, blah. I can't even understand what they're ordering. But he sure can, and he's going to talk about the phenomena of Starbucks. I don't know how many there are now, but it seems like for every corner that you find where there's a Starbucks, you look across the street and there's another one, and that's by design. That's what that was the whole idea of Starbucks. Always make sure where someone's looking, they have another Starbucks right there to catch their eye, so they'll go to either one versus some other coffee shop. Let's look back at some of the key moments from last year that hopefully we'll never repeat again, like the Italian cruise ship, the Costa Concordia. Remember, it ran aground off the Tuscan island of Giglio in Italy. 32 people were killed. There were Americans on board that ship, and it was all because the captain was wanted to wave to the people on the island. That ship is still tilted on its side. It's going to take it a year. They're building this monumental thing to try to flip it over. It's absolutely crazy to try to get it out of the water. It's environmentally not safe. And what about the people that were on that boat? They weren't expecting that. If we look to one of the big news stories of 2012, and one that a lot of you called in to talk about, George Zimmerman shoots 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. He dies. He's an unarmed teenager who Zimmerman described to dispatchers as suspicious. The case will be played out in the courtroom later in 2013, and this is another split across the nation as to what happened here. There were a lot of people that were demanding that Zimmerman be charged. He pled not guilty to second-degree murder. We'll see what happens there. He says he was defending himself, and that was that whole right to be able to do that, to stand your ground that some people think needs to be eliminated, and others think, hey, stand your ground. This is why we have stand your ground, because other people have gotten attacked, and they've been able to defend themselves. There were a few other interesting business things that happened, including Facebook doing an IPO, and it has just bombed. Facebook has fallen on the sword there. The CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, was, I can still remember his face, ringing the opening bell and so excited about it, getting a chance to do that with the initial public offering in May of 2012 is when that happened. And it was supposed to be one of the hottest internet IPOs since Google, and Google I can't remember what it's at now, but it's pretty chunky, pretty healthy. Facebook, though, just completely bombed. They're lucky if they get into the double digits. They're in the single digits, and people were pretty disappointed about Facebook. And here we go again, another big business story. J.P. Morgan Chase got massively criticized, and should have, for claiming that they had this surprise $2 billion loss by one of their trading groups. But really, it was just a sloppy kind of strategy to somehow overcome a financial risk, for lack of a better way to describe it to you. Jamie Dimon, the darling, the CEO of J.P. Morgan, was trying to explain it away. He was called to testify before the Senate Banking Committee, and it just brought us back to, oh, banks too big to fail. Here we go again. Unemployment was a big thing that we all talked about. That's why so many of us thought, oh, Obama's going to have a tough time in this election. Unemployment hit 8.2% in May. It was a terrible month, rough on a lot of people, without a doubt. Big story in June was Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker and the fact that he was able to win a recall election. It's so rare that you're able to do that, but he did. There were a lot of labor, or there were a lot of union people, pro-union people, who were pushing hard to try to defeat him. It didn't happen. He beat his Democratic opponent, and looks forward to 2014, is what he said afterwards. Also, one of the things that we saw was the Supreme Court striking down Arizona's controversial immigration law, but also upheld a key provision that requires police officers to check the immigration status of the people they suspect might be in the country illegally. The provision on that mandate, we talked about this a ton on the show, so many of you called in, the provision on the mandatory checks during the stops now kicks back to a lower court for a review, and it might be subject to another challenge. That wouldn't be shocking, but it was a win for Arizona and for the governor, Jan Brewer, who was just vilified for signing the bill into law in the first place. Then in June, there was also the Supreme Court upholding President Obama's health care overhaul. The court ruled as constitutional the so-called individual mandate that requires all of us, most Americans, to get health insurance that kicks in 2014. This was a big win for the president, a big loss otherwise, and we'll be talking more about that when we go to Washington at the tail end of January. Sadly, mass shootings became all too familiar. James Holmes was the guy who went in July accused of shooting all those people in the shooting rampage at a midnight showing of the Batman movie when it came out in Aurora, Colorado. He killed 12 people and he injured 58 others. And we end the year with the horrible shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. 20 children dead, 6 adults. Just terrible, terrible tragedy. Coming up the rest of this hour, as I said, we'll introduce you to some of the people that we thought were interesting over the year. Stephanie Luce, John Christopher, our pal, and Ken Brown. So saddle in, kick back, and enjoy. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Happy New Year, Peter Kranchnabel from Midas Resources. Today's December 31st, 2012. Gold open this morning at 1664.80. A 1 ounce gold Krugerrand can be purchased for $1706.26, $853.13 for a half ounce, and $426.56 for a quarter ounce. $1706.26, $853.13, and $426.56.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com. Click on freeze-dried foods and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Talking about what happened at that factory and that horrible weekend fire, and now they're saying that even more than 100 people were closed in India mourning the deaths of these factory workers that were killed, and these working conditions, crazy. And then, of course, talking about the ties to America and some of the stuff where it was headed for the shelves of Walmart in many cases. Stephanie Luce is in the wings. She joins us here on ATN. She's an associate professor of labor studies at the Murphy Institute at the City University of New York. Stephanie, thanks for popping on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So here's the thing. You saw the horrific pictures. I saw them. All the people listening to America Tonight. I mean, it was running all day long on the cable networks and whatnot. People were just horrified by that. But I think, sadly, the one thing about this tragedy is that it gives us a chance to actually discuss the impact of U.S. companies shipping jobs overseas. First of all, how prevalent is this?
Well, the fire itself is actually tragically fairly common. There's been several hundred workers killed in these kinds of fires just in the last few years in Bangladesh, and over the last couple of decades, there's been a number of big fires. This is the worst so far, but it's common. A lot of the conditions in these factories are extremely dangerous, and even when they've been rated high risk, the work continues, and things haven't, you know, really improved much. And in Bangladesh, it's been going on now for about 20 years with very little improvement.
Yeah, and obviously we know that we do a segment called Made in America, and I always challenge people to go around their house for 10 minutes and lift things up and see where they're made, and they're always stunned for some reason. They don't realize how many things are made overseas. Mm-hmm. And it's the low wages, that's the attraction to this. Is it, you know, the corporations... say if the corporate tax was lower, because we have the highest corporate tax in the world, they would come back. Do you think this is truly a way to pull back some of the manufacturing that's being done in places like Bangladesh or no?
I don't think it's just the taxes. I think that what the model does is it sets a whole host of reasons why corporations are attracted to go overseas. So in a country like Bangladesh, what they do is they create what are called free trade zones that actually really get rid of a whole host of laws, environmental regulations, safety and health regulations, wage regulations, unions, and so forth. So it's about more than taxes. It's about companies feeling like they have kind of free rein to produce how they want to produce with very little oversight. I think that, you know, we really are stuck in this situation where, you know, we have a global model that's pushing wages down, that's pushing standards down, and we're kind of forced between, you know, do we want a bad job or no job? And actually, interestingly enough, it's the same choice in Bangladesh that it is here in the United States, because we feel like, well, if we ask for higher wages, the company will just take their jobs overseas. In Bangladesh, they say if we ask for better conditions, they'll just move their production to Sri Lanka or Pakistan or China.
And there's a word for this, isn't there? There's a word for the power over workers in our retail market in the U.S. What is that? And explain that to us.
Well, there's really what you can say about companies like Walmart and whether it's Target or, you know, they've had a lot of mergers in the retail industry and other industries, and they really, you know, developed this monopoly power where they have enough power to control the market. They can go to Bangladesh and say, these are our terms. If you want our contract, you'll do it, or otherwise we'll take the jobs and we'll go somewhere else. So it's not even really a free market in the sense where you have a fair negotiation between one company and another. Just like, you know, it's not, it's just even between the Walmart employer and the Walmart worker here, it's not the kind of free market economics that I was taught in my economics 101 class, which is, you know, equal partners. Walmart is doing what we call a global supply chain, which is that they take parts of their work and they outsource it around the world, and they subcontract, and that kind of gets them a little bit of legal distance too. So when something like this fire happens, they can say, well, we didn't really know what was happening. It wasn't really under our control.
Wow. And do you think that this situation is going to continue because of a lot of the reasons you just said? Or how can we see this? You know, you're a labor expert. How can we see this change?
Yeah. Unfortunately, our trend is still in the downward position because we continue to pass free trade agreements. There's a very large trade agreement called the Trans-Pacific Partnership that is on the table. It's one of Obama's priorities. And that's going to just expand this kind of, you know, incentive for companies to move overseas. I think that the best that we can do here in the United States is just to try and be a lot more conscious about these trade policies and about what they are really doing to workers overseas, and as well as, you know, what they do to workers here. I think, you know, we've had a tendency to think of like, well, the workers in China are stealing our jobs, or the workers in Mexico are stealing our jobs. But really, I think they're being hurt by it too. And I think we need to get more focused on making a more equal balance of power between workers and the corporations.
No, boy, I agree with that. How about boycotts? When you see something horrific like this, do boycotts work? Or I have a theory that they don't always work because people say, yeah, let's boycott Walmart for a day because we're upset what happened and their clothing was being made over there in that factory, and people get all juiced up about it, and you'll see things on the internet and it'll tweet about it.
Yeah.
But then when it comes down to it, people don't boycott. So would that work?
Yeah, I don't actually think boycotts are usually that effective either, and in part because, you know, they can also cost people their jobs. So if we all say, let's stop shopping at Walmart, you know, people here in the Walmart stores could lose their jobs. People in Bangladesh making those clothes could lose their jobs. So I feel like we want to take actions that don't put workers at risk. Or if workers themselves are calling for the boycott, you know, maybe you could support it. But in general, the consumer boycotts are only successful in limited cases. I think that it's going to take more than just consumer power. It's going to take consumer power with workers, with, you know, changing laws and changing regulations about what corporations have, you know, in terms of the power that they have.
Yeah. What's the difference, so people have an idea, give or take, in the wages for a Bangladesh worker versus the U.S.?
So the minimum wage in Bangladesh right now is about $36 a month. And people are going to say, well, it's cheaper cost of living there, which is true. But even given that, it's what the United Nations has considered an absolute poverty line, which, you know, globally it's considered you need at least one U.S. dollar a day to even survive, and you really need two U.S. dollars a day to really meet the poverty line. So many of these workers are living below what is considered internationally the real poverty line. So it's a pretty grim situation. People are living in shacks. They're living in huge, you know, piling up in dorms and so forth, just to try and survive.
Yeah, so maybe the push should also be to help the people get a little more money.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is when we worry about U.S. jobs moving overseas, really one of the best solutions for that would be is if conditions, living conditions in other countries were raised up. You know, we don't want to compete by raising, you know, lowering our wages down and down. We want to help other countries develop. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things Walmart could do that are really easy, like just installing fire extinguishers in any factory where it has any business. That's a really cheap fix. Just things like not letting doors be locked. You know, these are not cost. There's no cost to that. So, you know, I think in that sense we can demand that Walmart just meet the absolute basic minimums in their factories.
Yeah, and mostly we're talking about what kind of stuff are we talking about being made? I mean, just I think it's everything, right? From candles to clothing to you name it.
Yeah, the main export in Bangladesh is garments. That's their main industry, and it's mostly really young women. I met some women as young as 14 or 16, and a lot of that is just they are assembling clothes. They're you know getting the pieces and sewing them together. They call it the ready-made garment industry. So that's their main export, and the country really relies on that money as the main source of the country's income.
Oh, so you were there and actually talked to some of the workers.
Yes, I've been there and have met with garment workers in different parts of the world. And what's interesting is you'll find a very similar story, whether it's in Bangladesh or China, which is people feel that they have to choose between a bad job and no job. And again, I think that's where we're going with a lot of Americans, too. We're feeling like the same kind of choice. And I feel like it shouldn't have to be that choice. There should be other choices, too, which is more healthy as a sustainable job.
Yeah, and were most when you did the China thing too, was it mostly 14 to 16 year olds or older workers as well mixed in?
Older workers as well. In China, there's a lot of 16 and 17 year olds who are working as student interns in a lot of the factories, but there's some older workers as well. And there's just so many workers here.
Yeah, terrible situation. All right, Stephanie Luce, thanks so much for coming on and shedding some light on this awful situation. We appreciate it.
Soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here. According to the FBI, close to 400,000 burglaries take place in the United States between November and December each year. Seems burglars shop for the holidays too, for easy targets. Here are a few things that you can do to lower the risk of a break-in. Lock doors and windows. Don't have newspapers and mail accumulate in front of your house. Don't announce your travel plans on social media. And plug in fake TV. Burglars love the dark. Fake TV is a bit like a light on a timer, but more convincing. Plugs into any outlet and simulates the colors and movement of a real TV. Burglars will see light and movement and likely move on to easier targets. Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and makes a great Christmas gift. Or it's perfect if you're traveling over the holidays or anytime. So before you leave your house looking like an empty, easy target, order Fake TV today. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. That's 877-532-5388 or go to FakeTV.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We're hanging out here in the Radisson, and John Christopher, I want to say Bua.
Yeah, you can say whatever.
Booyah,
well, you can say whatever you want.
Say your last name for us.
Bua.
Bua, that's easy. It's like
or,
Buick.
Or Jean-Christophe.
Jean-Christophe.
As the French say.
He's with Sky, but that doesn't tell you anything.
Sky News.
He's Sky News, which is huge.
90 million subscribers worldwide, baby.
Yeah, I need to get on Sky News. He's a White House. He's a White House commentator and political analyst, and he's got deep ties to politics in general all over the place.
He should be tied up, actually.
He should be tied up.
Career,
John Christopher, big news today. White House Chief of Staff Bill Daley out of there. What happened?
President's coming on, going to announce it. Jack Lew is in, Jacob Lew from the Office of Management and Budget, a very good fiscal guy. I know Jack for many, many years when I was part of the Clinton administration. Interesting choice. You know, one would think he would get a whipcracker, you know, like a Harold Ickes,
right,
to really kind of stir things up. He's got a campaign, although the campaign's being run by Messina and out of Chicago. The fact is that it's a very, very conscious choice. And I, even in my sagacity, even in my knowledge, even in my daily White House briefing knowledge, it's kind of a peculiar choice because Jack is a very sweet guy. He's a, you know, easy-tempered guy, even-keel guy.
Right.
And I would think they would want a lion tamer in there to kind of crack the whip. But it probably has to do with the fiscal stuff. It probably has to do with the budgetary stuff, obviously. And Jack has got a good relationship with the Hill. So I think that's probably where he's going.
So
the president will say.
Is political maneuvering really when
No. What do you think? We're in New Hampshire.
Everything's political.
Everything.
Listen, you've been in the game, like I said, you've been in the game for a while. You've seen all angles of this thing. And I always say, it's about another term. It's about another term. It's about another term.
You're campaigning.
Right.
And then you've got, you want to go for the second term.
Yeah.
So because you can't get anything done the first term.
Right.
Because no one does. And that's, you know, and then you try to do it the second term. The fact is that this president is angling to get another term. And Mitch McConnell, you know, wants him out.
Right.
Their whole point is to get him out and he wants to stay in. That's politics. That's what you're supposed to do. I mean, that's okay.
But don't you think there's a gridlock, though, in Congress? I mean, come on.
No, of course there is.
How do you break the gridlock? There's a group called No Labels.
They're sick and disgusted, and you've got the Occupy folks, and you've got the Tea Party folks who are basically saying the same thing. We're not being represented. They've come from a different, you know, philosophical bent, but they're still saying the same thing. They're saying, we're not being represented. And now you have these super PACs who are just making campaigning, basically retail campaigning, no longer important. You know, what happened to Newt Gingrich from the American Future of that group, I don't have it in front of me.
Right.
Millions of dollars. And Newt was for the Supreme Court decision on the Citizens United, opening the whole concept of PACs. And then it bit him in the you-know-what.
Right.
Took a nice bite. Plenty to bite. And he really was angry about that. He got basically eviscerated in Iowa. And I was glad to see him take the gloves off yesterday on Meet the Press.
Yeah. When you, as you watch this whole thing unfold, you cover the White House day to day. What's that like? You guys are like a pack of jackals.
Well, we try to be. I mean, I think of myself as more like a hyena, if you want to know, in terms of who gets the carrion. You know, I'm just a foreign correspondent, you know. You know, I'm part of the press corps. I'm honored to be part of the White House press corps. I'm honored to represent Sky News there, you know, quite a number of days a week. And I'm happy to get my questions in.
Well, that was my question.
Yeah.
How do you get, because there's a big thing, and people call my show and ask about it all the time. Although people that are covering the president nationally, they just don't ask the right questions. They're not just asking the right questions.
Well, I am there. I'm honored to be there when the president has his news conferences. But I'm there almost daily for the daily briefing, which
right.
Jay Carney ran,
right.
runs and Robert Gibbs ran before. You know, the questions are asked because the editors want to see some breaking news. Okay, they want to see whoever it is, the press person, kind of squirm and admit that he doesn't know something or that his relationship with the president is not a good one. I'm not saying not this group. I mean, you go back to Pierre Salinger, who the president told, basically Jack Kennedy told in very salty terms, when I tell you this, I want you to blank, blank, blank. And it was about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah.
And he said, go, get home now and tell him that you're sick or something to that effect.
Were you around for that? You're young. You're a pup.
I wasn't at the White House for that, but I was on this earth for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a lot younger than I look anyway. But, you know, the question is, how close is the president with his chief spokesperson?
Right.
And they will try to dig under and see, is this guy really for real? Does he really have that kind of access? And I think Jay Carney is doing, a pretty darn good job. It is tough being up there.
One thing, and I've talked to other correspondents about this, their critique of the Obama White House was, just like everybody else coming in, they said, we're going to be so transparent. But as somebody who covers the White House, really, are they that transparent?
Well, I think Jay, who was on the other side where I sit, he was a Time magazine bureau chief in Washington. He also was the bureau chief in Moscow. He knows what it's like to be pressured by your bosses to say, get a question in, and he's respectful of that. And I'm honored that he calls on me, and I try to ask questions that would make news, but I also try to ask questions that he's interested in answering.
Right.
And then if a press secretary knows that you're going to ask something that is not just the same old, you know, picky third type thing, then he'll call on you. Plus, I have a different bent. Mine is international. I cover international finance and national security issues and the relationship between the U.S., the U.K., and the Europeans. You know, Kate, we live in a global borderless economy now.
Right.
We're all in the same boat.
Right, I agree.
And what happens in America, believe me, is affected. It affects Greece. What happens in Greece affects us. So we're all having to work together on this. So that's why being an international guy, although I don't sound like a Brit, I'm a Yank, it's exciting and it's fun, and it does get Sky News some good answers and good coverage
right.
for the questions and the stories that they're covering on a daily basis. And
right.
they were the first show network to really get into Libya.
Right.
And it was amazing. The State Department was following Sky, and we were very honored about that.
In covering this, just handicap it for us. You know, we're here in New Hampshire. Do you think it's just a done deal, Romney, and then Santorum second?
As I wrote in my last blog on the Washington Notebook, the fight for the soul of the Republican Party, thanks for letting me get that plug in, the fact is, it's the second guy who's the one. Who comes in second is the one to watch, because we have South Carolina next.
Right.
And if it's either Santorum or
Ron Paul,
that's not exactly where I'm going, or Perry, you're going to see the evangelical folks putting a ton of money into promoting them for the race. Ron Paul is kind of like the wild card, but he holds enormous sway. I mean, you just walk outside, the Ron Paul guys.
Oh, I know.
You should see who picks up on my blog. Ron Paul, one after the other.
Right.
They are passionate, they are driven,
right.
and they love this guy, and to their credit. And Ron Paul, if he shows a decent outcome, he's going to have a major part of the platform in Tampa at the RNC.
But why do people say he's just not electable? Because the Republican Party, they shoo him away.
Well, a good friend of mine, a famous senator, whose name I won't mention, and I, we had dinner one night, and we both were talking about Ron Paul. And he said, you know, John, you're right. I agree with the guy 50% of the time. And the other time, you know, you think he's a crackpot.
Right.
But, you know, that 50% of the time, people are very passionate about what he says. And it makes sense. He is making sense to a lot of folks.
Right.
And these other guys, they're not getting anybody terribly excited.
Right.
You know, Mitt Romney is you know, okay, well, if we have to take him, we'll take him. But that's not how to win an election. You've got to be in love to be in line. And I think that's what happened.
In love to be in line. I like that.
Yeah.
John, what a great little saying I'm going to steal from you.
But
it really, in the overall scheme, nationally, do you really think, do you give any of these Republicans a chance to knock off the incumbent Obama? You cover the White House daily. You're in the thick of it in D.C. You're seeing it.
I think if this president gets some better numbers, which he's starting to, the unemployment numbers are starting to tick down. You know, it people are still out of work. If this president, you know, gets fired up and is passionate and says where he wants to lead this country in the 21st century, I'm not saying you should write this down, guys. I'm not promoting the president, but I can say if and I'll tell Romney what I think he should do. If this president and this administration and this campaign really wants to define this election, and the numbers look better,
mm-hmm.
and people start feeling even the idea that things are turning around a little bit. I'm not
right.
saying happy days are here again,
right.
but a little close. More, a little more of that, Obama will win.
Yeah.
I think if there's some major issues and the economy starts to crash, and Mitt Romney shows strength and he doesn't, you know, screw up like he says today, he fires people, which was, he got that one out. And that, you know, if they can get him and keep him out, you know, he's getting better. His debates are getting stronger. But it's all about personality. Hey, you know what it is? I always could pick a president since I was like, I talked about Kennedy. I was a
right.
little kid.
Right.
I said, that guy's going to win because that guy you want to see in your living room every night. Not
so
that guy.
It's perception.
It sure is. And it's perception. It's a sense of trust. It's a sense of, I don't believe a word they're saying, and it's a sense of comfort, and it's a sense of excitement and passion about the country. And I think every one of the Republicans offers a bit of that.
Right.
But there's not one of them that offers all of it.
Right, and everybody wants the whole enchilada, really. That's what you have to have.
It's a package. We elect stars in this country.
Yep.
My British colleagues, it's a parliamentary system, and it's a party system. You elect the party, and you get who's the head of the party.
Right.
Here, you elect, I mean, what's the
difference? Rock stars.
You elect rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, it's Hollywood. I mean, this is what we do here in this country.
Mm-hmm.
It boggles the minds of our European allies and colleagues.
It does. John, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Will you
Anytime.
Stop by again?
Anytime.
We need to talk. We need to talk
it.
Again.
You're the real wonderful.
You were terrific.
Thank you.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
You land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa, where a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more, all more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com, the big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
We have witnessed two terrible storms in the east, but we are still in the eye of the perfect storm. The most devastating economic condition since the Great Depression, America's worst drought in agricultural history, and now the economic results of the presidential election. This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. I just doubled down and got even more supplies from eFoods Direct, and I recommend you do the same. It's time to get your own supply from eFoods Direct. I know I won't be standing in a bread line trading my freedom for food. I'm taking control of my future, and you're nuts if you don't do the same. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the specials, and you can start with a holiday gift pack that's normally $80, now under $50. Remember, I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or one day too late? 409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Well, anybody who's traveled or anybody who goes to work, stops in to get a cup of Joe, has encountered the phenomenon called Starbucks. It's interesting, being in Washington this year, Philly, and New York, and then being on the West Coast, too, I noticed something, that there were Starbucks across the street from each other. How ingenious. You want to get something coffee-wise, tea-wise, whatever, there it is. They got the monopoly going. They're very much coffee-wise still, I think, like the McDonald's of coffee. And some people still feel a little bit kind of rough. They have a rough time dealing with the terminology because, you know, it's not large, small, medium. There's different sizes. For example, do you know Venti? How many ounces are you getting from a Venti? I guess don't tell the mayor of New York. There is no big gulp where coffee is concerned with Starbucks. Anyway, I thought it'd be a gas to have this guy on, a former barista and Starbucks manager, Kenneth Brown, who wrote a book called Inside the Cup, Translating Starbucks into Drinkable Language. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Kate?
So when you, let me ask you this. So when you first started, take us through what it's like, though, when you become a barista. You had to learn all this. Come on. You had to learn all the different, you know, the sizes, and you had to learn about the chinos, frappuccino, mochiata, all that stuff, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. You know, I got to tell you, when I started at Starbucks, you know, I didn't know anything about coffee. I was in way over my head to begin with. A typical barista, you know, gets about 40 hours of training. And when I was training baristas, you know, I used to tell them, it's going to be a good 2 months or a little more before you're really comfortable with all of this. And, when I started, and I started learning the drinks and all the crazy modifiers, it was just overwhelming. You know, I was finding myself finishing up making a drink, and then I couldn't even repeat it back to the customer.
Oh, that's brutal. So, and it's probably some of the customers knew it better than you did, or better than the people training.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They were training me.
Oh, I love it. Where were you as Starbucks manager?
On the South Shore of the Boston area, just south of there, in between Boston and Cape Cod, and then a little west of Boston over in Brookline and Newton as well.
Wow. Well, that with an accent, because you know I'm from the East Coast too, but you get some of those accents in that area. That'd be tough with a Southie. Then they're trying to pronounce this. Boy, that could be confusing. Did you ever have that problem
Yeah.
where someone swallowed their words? Wait, what did you say? Didn't you hear me? That would have to be crazy sometimes, I would imagine.
Yeah, it really just adds to it. You know, there's a lot of transplants, but when you get someone who's local and they come in and try and order, it's like, well, you recognize it right away.
Yeah, no kidding. What was the most popular drink that people ordered?
That's a tough one. There's a lot of popular drinks. There really are a lot of people that come in and just get drip coffee, for one. Other than that, I would say lattes, chai tea lattes, cappuccinos. Those tend to be really popular, although people don't come in and order just a latte. You know, they come in and order a half-calf, venti, triple tall, non-fat, no foam latte, you know.
So let's just say somebody comes in, and you say they just get a drip coffee, but then they want soy milk, then they want a shot of whatever in it. I mean, so there's kind of a guide here. You could get whatever you want. Is that the deal? It's not necessarily what's on the menu, because you have all kinds of possibilities. It is kind of like a laboratory. Am I right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Everything's not on the menu to begin with, because there's just so many drink components that they offer. They can't possibly fit it on there. But, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right when you say you can really concoct whatever you can think up. You know, people come in with the craziest things. There was one customer, he would come in, and he liked to have two butter patties melted into his latte.
I got your butter patties. They're in the back. We're ready for you. Oh, that's brutal. That's great. So let's get some tips out there, because I know, like, Dan in Texas, he has no clue what we're talking about. Or, maybe even our friend Dave, who's listening in Rhode Island, if someone said they're going to beat me up later for calling their names out. But macchiato, describe macchiato. What does that mean?
Yeah, so technically macchiato means marked. And, you know, back in the old days over in Europe, they used to use it to distinguish between drinks that had a little bit of milk in it. They would put a little dollop of foam. But in Starbucks' case, you know, if you order an espresso macchiato, what you're getting is a shot or two of espresso with just a little bit of foam on top.
Just a little bit of foam on top. Okay, we got that. Macchiato.
Yeah.
What's an Americano?
So an Americano, I know it sounds so complicated. It's actually very simple. It's just espresso and hot water usually. The name comes from U.S. soldiers during World War II. You know, the Europeans started calling them Americanos because the American soldiers didn't like just the espresso because it was so strong they needed to add hot water to it.
Ah, that's easy. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I used to drink Cuban coffee. So that's just like an espresso, only double whammy. Your eyes, they pop out like the cartoon characters and roll around. People look at you and they see more than the whites of your eyes. So then Frappuccino, which is pretty common. What's Frappuccino?
Yeah, Frappuccino is really a product line of drinks, and it's frozen drinks. You know, some of them have coffee, some of them don't. Some might be strawberry or mocha or vanilla or whatever it is. But it's a frozen blended drink.
Frozen blended drink. That makes sense. And especially in the summertime, a lot of people get that. All right, tell us about the sizes, small, medium, large.
Small, medium, large. I don't know what those are.
Yeah, what are they? I don't understand.
Yeah, so tall is actually the small. That would be a 12-ounce. And grande is the medium. So they're using two terms to say large, really, tall and grande. And then venti is Italian for 20. So you have your 20-ounce drink, which is your large. And I know you mentioned the big gulp earlier. Your big gulp is technically the Trenta, which is Italian for 30. That's a 31-ounce drink. And little do most people know, Starbucks has a very, very small size called a short, which is only 8 ounces, but that usually isn't on the menu.
Really? A short 8 ounces? Do they have Trenta, too? You can get Trenta?
Yeah, you can only get it in iced coffee and iced tea, though.
Iced coffee and iced tea. Did you find that when you were working, because, you know, you were the guy, you were managing it, did you get to know the people? Like, you mentioned the one guy who came in and wanted something, the same thing every day. Did you get to know the people? Because was it like a coffee shop where people knew each other because the same faces would come in all the time?
Yeah, that's really the best part of the job, is you have customers who come in every day or every other day. Some customers come in 2, 3, 4 times a day. And it really goes beyond a customer, business partner relationship. You get to know these people. You get to know their life intimately. They share things with you. I mean, I even had customers at my wedding. I got so close with them.
Wow, you're kidding. Wow, that says something. So that, I mean, it is like your neighborhood coffee shop then, though. Even though it's a chain, it becomes a meeting place, and it becomes the same people coming in over and over again that would attest to it if you had people that were coming to your wedding.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Starbucks likes to say that they're not in the coffee business. They're really in the people business, because these people like to come in the morning on their way to work and, you know, have that 60-second, 2-minute interaction with the local barista that they know they've been close with. And that's the routine that gets their day started.
I got a question for you, Ken. Here's the problem. I grew up outside of Philly. I'm all about coffee. And I like some of the things that Starbucks has, but the plain, just regular coffee is too strong. Are they ever going to make coffee that isn't? I'm sure Howard did research, and probably most people like a stronger cup of coffee, I guess, because I don't think there's anything that's really that weak on the menu. There's not that hazelnut or not as strong coffee. Every time I go, it's always offered up Pike's Peak, but that's not, to me, that's not very light. Do you think they'll ever go to something lighter?
Yeah, not too long ago, a couple months ago, they came out with a Silveranda blend, and that's a pretty mild coffee for Starbucks. It's certainly milder than the House Blend or the Pike Place. Those are really middle of the road. So I would say, you know, the Veranda or Breakfast Blend is the lightest that you can get at Starbucks. But, you know, they're really not catering to that. People are either really loyal to Starbucks because they like the dark coffee, they like the bold coffee,
yeah,
or they're loyal to Dunkin' Donuts or someone else who doesn't have that.
That's so true. So what do you do now? You get married, you write this book, you did the barista thing. You're a former barista, so you're not a Starbucks manager either now. What are you doing now? Are you slinging hash someplace else? What are you doing?
I finished writing the book not that long ago, so I've just been promoting it. I spent this past week at Book Expo America in New York City talking coffee with people all week, so that was really fun.
Really? How was the Book Expo? Was that fun? You said it was fun. Was it great?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people there from the industry. This is the Jacob Javits Center. It can be a little overwhelming, but, you know, people are people, and coffee is coffee, and everybody knows Starbucks, and everybody knows what it's like to go into Starbucks and get anxiety because they don't know how to order.
I love that. Great idea for the book. Ken, good luck with that. Ken Brown, pick up his book, Inside the Cup, Translating Starbucks into Drinkable Language. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kay. I appreciate it.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff.
And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.